The second perek of Shabbos is the famous perek of Bame Madligin, which in many, many shuls in Klal Yisrael we say before Maariv on Friday night, and it discusses the lighting of candles on Erev Shabbos, what wicks and what candles and what oils would be proper and which would not be. So by way of background to that, there are a number of reasons brought by the poskim as to why we light candles on Erev Shabbos before Shkia. The first one is Oneg Shabbos, that it brings enjoyment to Shabbos, and in particular we should be eating our Seuda where there is light by the candlelight. Number two is Kavod HaShabbos. It is dignifying to the Shabbos. It's honoring the Shabbos, so we should prepare the lights going into Shabbos. And another reason, number three, Shalom Bayis. In other words, not necessarily between a husband and wife, but we should have a peaceful and tranquil house in Shabbos. In other words, we shouldn't be tripping on things on Shabbos. We should be able to see a ramification of this. If we're talking Oneg Shabbos and even Kavod Shabbos, we're talking about where we eat the meal. But Shalom Bayis, that we shouldn't be tripping on things, would apply throughout the house. We should have proper lighting so that we don't have any obstacles as we try to move if it were dark. Our Mishnah Aleph focuses on what types of wicks and oils should be used to kindle the Shabbos candle. So the Mishnah says as follows, Bame Madlikin, Ubame En Madlikin. What are the wicks and oils that we should light with? Which are the ones that we should not light with? And the Mishnah is going to divide up now between wicks and what we should use as oil, as fuel. The Mishnah says as follows, Ein madlikin lo belechesh. We're talking about the types of wicks we should not be lighting with. Lechesh, fibers of a cedar tree. Velo bechosen, uncombed flax. Velo bechalach, we shouldn't be lighting with an inferior type of silk. Velo bepsila saidan, we should not be lighting with the fibers of a willow tree. Velo bepsila hamidbar, we should not be lighting with certain type of long grass that is found in the midbar, that is found in the desert. Velo biroka shalpene hamayim, we should not be lighting with that sea moss, that green stuff that grows in the water and underneath ships and boats, etc. And the reason that we should not be using these wicks, they are disqualified for lighting our candles on Shabbos, is because they do not produce a steady flame that we can rely on Shabbos. And the concern here is if that flame is flickering or possibly going out. The Hebrew is Shema Yatakli. We may come, unthinking about it, but we may come to tilt the lamp. We may come to try to make the oil go into the wick better, to have the flame brighter, or to prevent it from going out. And that would be an Isser Doraisa of the Malacha of Mavir, lighting a fire. So Chazal instituted, make sure to use good wicks. Don't use wicks that will not produce a good flame. And continuing, what are the substances we cannot use as the shemen, as the fuel to light those wicks? V'lo bezefes, we should not light with pitch. V'lo beshava, we should not light with wax. Now, we're not talking about the wax that we have nowadays. We're talking about a certain type of liquid wax that would not do a good job in lighting. V'lo beshemen kik, and not with cottonseed oil. V'lo beshemen sreifa, and this is going to be something we'll explain more in the next Mishnah. It literally means shemen, that is oil that is burnt. It's talking specifically about oil that is from truma, that because it becomes tame, if it becomes tame, it has to be burnt. So we'll explain that in the next Mishnah. V'lo ba'alya, we should not be lighting also with the fat of a sheep's tail. V'lo b'chelev, and also not with chelev. Chelev is a type of fat that is prohibited by the Torah, a type of fat from an animal that is prohibited from the Torah. We should not be lighting with chelev. Now, all of these fuels cannot be used with the exception of the shemen sreifa, that's the truma that becomes tameh, again, because they do not produce a steady flame. The Mishnah then continues in a machlokas when we said chelev, that we cannot light with the chelev, that is talking about the fat from a non-kosher fat from an animal. Nachum Hamadi Omer Matliking Bechelev Mevushal. If you have the chelev, that fat, and it was boiled, then it becomes liquid and can be used as a steady flame. So as long as it's boiled, we can use chelev. But Chachamim Omrim, and the opinion that we saw before, may be the chelev. When it says lot nan chelev, either the same opinion or the Gemara discusses that there's actually a nafkamina between this, because originally we said not chelev, but here also Chachamim Omrim Echad Mevushal. Chachamim disagree with Nachum Hamadi and say whether it has been cooked boiled or not, chalev should not be used. So in the Gemara it discusses what is the nafkamina between the Tana Kama that says v'lo bechalev, and here again it says v'chachamim omrim, the chachamim say whether it's been boiled or not, it should not be used if it's chalev. Interesting questions, the halacha. Electric lights can be they used for hadlakas neiros. So indeed, this is a machlokas of the postim, especially when it comes to incandescent lights. There are those that say that you can use incandescent lights, electric lights, and even say a bracha on it if you have to light that way on Erev Shabbos. And there are others that say no, you can't light with them. Certainly cannot say a bracha. The bracha is especially problematic because the bracha says la hadlik ner, and this is not a ner. This is electric. There's also a discussion, assuming that we can use electricity, how about a flashlight? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is of the view that a flashlight can be used as long as it has a battery pack attached to it, as long as it's not plugged in. If it's plugged in, its energy source is from a generator, wherever that may be, from the electric company. But with a battery, a flashlight could be used, and for Hadlakas Neiros. Another interesting question that we have is, can we light in a place that there's already light? It's very light from outside. There are electric lights that are on. So ideally, we should shut off all lights, and then the woman should, or the man, if he's lighting, should say the bracha, light the candles. And afterward, if the woman was lighting, then the husband should turn on the electric lights, also the Kavod Shabbos and Onog Shabbos, but it should be initially the candles of Shabbos that are lighting the area. So why aren't we so strict about this? I don't know many people, if any people who do that, so we are noheg to simply say the bracha on the neiros, even though the electric lights are on. So the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa brings in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Ulai hu biglal shechazal kavu es hashemen. It could be that Chazal said we should be lighting candles as a hiddur b'mitzvah, even if it's lit already, we have the hiddur to light the candles as well. And in addition, it's still, even if it's light from the electric, it still brings Kavod Shabbos to know we have special candles that when we see the candles, it certainly gives us another feeling about Shabbos, and that in of itself gives us Hana'ah and brings a Simcha as well. Mishnah Beis continues the discussion of which oil should not be used to light the Shabbos candles, but just real quickly referring back to the first Mishnah where we talked about Shemen Sreifa, the Mishnah starts out by saying, Ein madliking b'shemen sreifa b'yom tov. We don't light Shemen Sreifa, that's Truma, that has become Tame, should not be lit on Yantiv, that has to be burned, but it should be burned on the Chol, and not on Yantiv, during a weekday and not on Yantiv. Now the Mishnah gets back to our discussions of what are the proper fuels, the shmanim, the shemens, that should be used to light the Shabbos candles. And we're going to see three different opinions now. Opinion number one goes as follows, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel is of the view, Ein madlikin b'itran mipnei kvod HaShabbos. We don't light with itran, which is a certain type of residue left over from the pitch. It should not be used on Shabbos because it violates the kavod, the respect on Shabbos, the honor of Shabbos. What's going on here? So this itran is something that would, when burnt, it would give off an extremely bad smell. And the concern here is that if the Shabbos candles smell, people are going to leave the room. They're not going to want to eat there. They're going to eat elsewhere, a place that it's not lit properly for Shabbos, and therefore we're going to fail to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, eating in a place that doesn't have Kavod Shabbos because the candles aren't there. So Rabbi Shmuel was of the view, don't light with itran because people just won't stick around. The Chazal, Chachami Matirim B'chol Hashmanim. The next view is brought out as in the view of Chazal, Chachamim. They were not concerned that people are going to leave the room because of the smell, and accordingly, you can light candles even if there's going to be a foul odor coming forth from the candles, because the people will still have the light in that room. They're not going to go elsewhere. V'chachamim matirim b'chol hashmanim. Chachamim say you can light with all types of oils, b'shemen shumshmi, for example, sesame oil, shemen agozim, oil made from different types of nuts, b'shemen snonos, which is a shemen that's made from radish oil, b'shemen dagim, fish oil, b'shemen pakuos, that is a type of oil that's made from from a gourd, a certain type of gourd. B'itran, as the itran is what we just mentioned before, Rabbi Shmuel said, don't light with itran because of the foul smell. Here we see that Chachamim permit it. ubeneft, and also it's permitted to light with neft. Neft is something that gives off a bad smell as well. And continuing in the Mishnah, now we have a third opinion. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, ein maklikin ela b'shemen zayis bilvad. The only thing that we should be lighting candles with is shemen zayis, which is olive oil. Pure olive oil is the best thing. And his review is because the olive oil is the cleanest. It gives off the best light, the best flame. It's drawn to the wick very smoothly and easily, and according the flame is most beautiful. So Rabbi Tarfon is of the view that only shemen zayis, only olive oil should be used. So in fact, when it comes to Shulchan Aruch paskins that shemen zayis is the mitzvah mina mufchar. The ideal way to light candles is with shemen zayit, olive oil. However, the Mishnah Berurah explains what's going on here is because at that time, it gave the shemen zayit, is the olive oil, gave the best flame off. However, he says that you should always look for what at your time is given. This is, he doesn't say explicitly, but effectively he says there's a pecking order. Whatever gives off the best flame is indeed what should be used. So he says, venirli the kolze lefi inyan aner. It really depends on the quality of the ner. Use the best that you can and thereafter. And says the Mishnah Berurah that in his time, the candles in his time did a great job. In fact, there is a machlokis amongst the more contemporary poskim. Rav Eliashiv was of the view he preferred to use olive oil, but on the other hand, the Chazon Ish and the Kilas Yaakov, the Stipler, and nowadays the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they all use wax candles, used wax candles, because they felt that they did an even better job than the shemen zayis, than the olive oil. Mishnah Gimel returns to the discussion of which types of wicks are disqualified from use in Hadlakas Neiros on Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Kol hayotze min ha'etz, anything that's a product of a tree, ein madlikin bo, we cannot light with it because they are not effective items for being good wicks, for having those candles light. Well, the one exception to the rule is elafishtan, flax, for example, somebody who combed flax or used linen cloth. Linen is made of flax. Those are proper uses for wicks because those wicks will be effective. Now, it's a side point here is even though Hishtan, we're saying the implication of this mission is that it comes from a tree, it really doesn't come from a tree, but there is a pasuk in Yoshua that says Pishtei Ha'etz, it refers to flax of the tree. So the Mishnah had to spell out specifically all other items from trees cannot be used as wicks, but Pishtan, we may have thought it's from a tree, that can be used in a wick. Now there's a side point here that the Mishnah talks about, again, focusing on the difference between Pishtan, flax, and other products of trees. It says as follows, V'chol ha'yotze min ha'etz, any items that come from a tree, Eino metame tumas oalim, cannot be receive tumas oal. What this is talking about is if we have a corpse and we have an overhang or a roof on top of that corpse, it's in a tent, for example, everything in that tent can become tame, almost everything, people, items, etc., in that tent can become tame. But the question that we're discussing here is, does the tent itself, the overhang, does that become tame? So the Mishnah is telling us that if that overhang, if that roof is made of products of a tree, for example, wood, that would not become tame, everything underneath would, but not the tent itself. The exception to that is ela pishtan, if the flax is what makes up the overhang of the tent, then the tent itself, the pishtan itself, flax, would also become tame. Now the Mishnah continues, if we have a beged, if we have a garment and want to use that garment for a wick, so it's talking specifically in this case, and we won't get into too much detail, if the garment is exactly the size of 3 by 3 finger breadths, that's exposed, that's the exact size that something is now considered a beged, a functional item, and accordingly it can become tame, it can receive tuma if it's touched by something that will give it tuma. So our Mishnah is discussing in particular if we have formed that beged, that 3 by 3 finger breadths, into a wick, but only part of it was processed as a wick. In other words, that piece of cloth was twisted, and now it's in the form of a wick, but it wasn't singed. In other words, the top of it wasn't singed. They used to singe the wicks in order to make it easier to light. So part of the process of making it a wick was done, but it was not completed. So the Mishnah says, Psilas ha-beged, if we have a wick made of a beged, made of a cloth, shikipla, it was twisted, v'lohiv hava, but it was not singed. So now we're going to have a machlokas as it comes to the relevancy of, can it become tame still before it was made into a wick? It could become tame because it's 3x3, it's at least the minimum size, and also, can it be used to light candles? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tamea, this item, because it was not singed yet, it hasn't been completed into a wick, it can still retain the status of a beged, and it become tame. If once it was singed, it would be a little less than a 3x3, and it would not become tame. So because it's still the same garment, it can become tame. The ein madlikim ba, and in addition, because it has not been singed yet, it should not be lit as a candle because it won't do a very good job. It's the singeing of the beged, of that wick, that would make it into an effective candle. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is of the opposite view. He says, Tahora, because that beged has already been twisted, that is sufficient to take it out of becoming tame. So now what it has is not considered a beged anymore, that it would become tame. And in addition, umadlikimba, and also we can light it, although it would help if it was singed, but because it hasn't been singed, it still can be effective as a candle. It just won't be as a light. It just won't be as effective. So Rabbi Akiva is of the view that it can be lit, maybe not ideally, but certainly it would be a kosher candle. An interesting question that we have nowadays. We've talked about singeing the wick, so it's more effective that it should be light. There's also that concept nowadays when we prepare the Shabbos candles, some have the minhag to singe the candles. In other words, the husband would come before the wife lights, and he would light the candles and extinguish them in order to make it easier for the wife when she comes and lights the candles. It's the exact same concept that we just saw in the Mishnah. So in fact, the Chazon Ish and the Stipler of, this is brought in Orchas Rabbeinu, were of the view that with our candles nowadays, it is not necessary at all to be lighting and extinguishing, because our candles are lit very easily, even if they haven't been singed by the husband. The wife can just as easily light the candles. Nonetheless, some people do it anyway. There are some of the view that it does help the lighting anyway. So our personal minhag in our household is I do light and then extinguish the candles before my wife does. But even if that's not done, it's still, the Mishnah Berurah says as follows, Shetov Sha'ish Yitakan Aner, at a minimum, it should still be the husband that prepares the candles before they are lit by the wife. So even if he's not going to singe them, but at least put them out, prepare them, so he has his involvement in the lighting of the Shabbos candles. In Mishnah Dalet, we see that Chazal were concerned that with certain structures of lamps that were lit on Shabbos, somebody may come to remove some of the oil. For example, they need it for their salad dressing, but it was already put into a lamp to be lit on Shabbos, and it was lit on Shabbos. And the concern here is that when somebody removes oil from a lamp, that is causing the lamp, the fire, to go out earlier. And that is an Isser D'oraisa of Kibui, one of the Lametes Malachas, one of the 39 categories of work is putting out a fire. So there were certain times that Chazal said, we don't want you to set up your lights, your lamps, and your fire burning with certain structures of vessels. So it goes as follows. We'll see a couple of examples of concerns. Lo yikov adam shveferet shel beitza v'malena shemen. What's going on here is there was a lamp, and the lamp would typically hold oil in it, and then there was a wick also inside of it. Think of a bowl with oil inside of it, and a wick that would come out of one side of it through a hole, and that's where it was lit and would draw from the oil on the inside. In our situation, what was done is lying on top of the lamp is another vessel. We'll call it the reservoir that the oil was kept, and there was a hole in the reservoir on top, and the oil was dripping from the top to the bottom, which was had the wick in it that was drawing that oil, and it was lit on the other side of the vessel. So the Mishnah tells us that a person is not permitted to make an oil in an eggshell, for example. It doesn't have to be a bowl on top. It could be an eggshell on top. Don't put a hole in it and fill that eggshell with oil and put it on top of the lamp, yinena api haner, on top of the lamp that's underneath, b'shil sheteheina min hatefes, so that the oil drips from the top, from the eggshell or a bowl on top with a hole in it, into the lamp on the bottom. The concern here is that somebody's going to see that vessel on top, the eggshell, and say, I need some oil, and is going to remove the oil, and that will cause the flame to go out, the flame that's in the lamp underneath to go out sooner. That's an Isser D'oraisa of Kibbuy. And the Mishnah continues, Afilu hi shel cheres, and even if that top vessel is made of earthenware, which is disgusting, and no one would want to eat oil taken out of an earthenware vessel, for example, it's been used many times and it's filthy. Nonetheless, the Tanakhama here in our Mishnah is concerned that somebody may remove oil and cause the lamp underneath the fire to go out sooner. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Matir says, I'm really not concerned that people are going to take oil from the vessel on top, so there's no need for a gzeira of chazal for people to not light in this fashion. The Mishnah now continues, however, aval im chibra hayotzer mipchila mutar, if the situation is that the top vessel, it was the eggshell or a bowl on top that was dripping to the bottom, if it was attached and part of the lamp to start with, which means literally aval, however, im chibra hayotzer, a yotzer is a craftsman, if the craftsman attached it from the beginning, that it was only one piece together, the lamp and the reservoir on top of it, that is not going to be a problem. That is mutar mibnei shuhu kli echad. What? Because it's one vessel, somebody is going to remember that, hey, it's Shabbos, I'm not permitted to take oil from this. The Mishnah is going to go on to another example of a time that Chazal had a concern that somebody may take oil out of a reservoir holding it, but it was already designated to be lit through a lamp on Shabbos. So the structure is a little bit different. In the ratio, we had the structure that the eggshell or the bowl was on top of the lamp. Here we have a second bowl holding oil on the side of the lamp. So the Mishnah says as follows, Lo yimale adam et hakera shemen, don't fill up a bowl with oil, feed nena bitzad haner, and put it on the side of the lamp, v'ten rosh hapsila besocha, and put the head of the wick inside of it, v'shvil shetehe shoavis, so it should draw from the oil. What's going on here is you have a lamp on one side, and you have that lit wick that is lit coming out of the lamp, and you have the wick in the lamp, but you run that wick into the second bowl that has a lot of oil in it. So it's drawing from the bowl with the oil through the lamp and through the lamp to where the other side of the wick is lit. And the concern here again is because you have this separate reservoir holding the oil, it's a separate bowl from the lamp itself, then you may come to take oil from it. However, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, again, just like in the Reisha, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, I'm not really concerned that somebody is going to do this. It's really unlikely somebody is going to remove oil from this extra bowl, and accordingly, we don't have to make a rabbinic decree that somebody is going to violate the Isser D'oraisa of putting the light out. We have a fascinating related question to our Mishnah that had concerns about taking oil out of the lamp, and that would cause the lamp to extinguish the flame earlier. Same question that we have nowadays, that we use electric lights. If we set up a Shabbos clock and we want to change the Shabbos clock mechanically so that it shuts the light off earlier, is that permitted? And indeed, similar to the concern in our Mishnah, when you shut off the flame, you remove the oil, extinguish the flame earlier, that is a malach on Shabbos. So too, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Eliyashe Paskind, that if you would change mechanically the Shabbos clock so that the light goes off sooner, that is also prohibited on Shabbos because you are causing the extinguishing of the electric light. Rav Shlomo Zalman Abrach agrees the default it is prohibited, but however he may have a little bit from flexibility when there's a tzorach gadol, when there's a real need, for example, for a sick person on Shabbos, then a shaila indeed should be asked. In Mishnah Hey, we discuss extinguishing a fire, and we're going to see that certain times it's permitted or even required to extinguish a fire on Shabbos, and certain times it's going to be an Isser Midoraisa to extinguish a fire on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says as follows, times when it's a permitted and even a requirement to put out the fire on Shabbos in cases of pikuach nefesh or even a suffik pikuach nefesh? If it's, there's a concern that somebody's life is in danger, even if it's a suffik, maybe it's in danger, we would be permitted and even required to put the fire out. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaMechabe es haner misneshu misyare mibnei goyim. Somebody puts out the fire, it's because literally he was concerned about the non-Jews. What this is talking about is at the time of Chazal, at the time of the Gemara, there were certain Persian religious sects that required people to leave their lamps off, all lights off. You can't use fire except in houses of worship when they had their pagan holiday. So accordingly, a Jew who had his candles on and is concerned that the non-Jews may seek him, and that would be a pikuach nefesh, they would really attack the Jews, it would be permitted in such a circumstance to put out the flame on Shabbos. Obviously, they should have pre-planned, but for whatever reason they didn't, that would be a case of pikuach nefesh or suffik pikuach nefesh. Or continuing, mibnei listim, somebody has a concern, the bandits, robbers may seek him, so he wants to put out the flame on Shabbos, pikuach nefesh, also life-endangering. Mibnei ruach ra, somebody has mental anguish, has a mental disease that he needs to sit in the dark. And continuing, a fourth case, v'im bishvil ha'chole shiyishan, or if you have a sick person, we're talking about a chole shiyesh bo sakana, somebody who has a life dangerous, a life-endangering problem, illness. In all of those cases, the Mishnah says, Potter, there's no biblical prohibition of putting out the flames, and in fact, it's not only Putter, it's mutter, it's permitted, and indeed there's a requirement to do so. Now the Mishnah is going to continue and discuss something that we'll see in a number of times in Mishnayos and in the Gemara and Shabbos, is the concept of a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. And what that means literally is a malacha, an activity, a prohibited activity on Shabbos, but you don't need the result of that activity for the item itself. Rather, you're doing the malacha for a different purpose. And an example that's brought in the Mishnah later on in the 10th parak is somebody who carries out a corpse from a Rishus Hayachi to Rishus Harabim. If somebody passed away, lo aleinu, in a house, and they remove that corpse on Shabbos, now that would be an Isser D'oraisa of Hotzah, carrying, but the intention of removing that corpse is not because they want to carry the corpse and need the corpse, but they want to remove the corpse. They want the corpse out of there. So that is a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, the malacha, we don't need the actual defined purpose of carrying, it's just a removal, we want something negative. So because of that, that is not going to be, that's going to be a machlokas actually. Is it an Isser D'oraisa or is it only going to be rabbinically prohibited? So indeed, that is going to be the subject of our Mishnah when a candle is put out, but not because you need the actual malacha of the candle itself, that you're trying to do something positive with that candle, but you're trying to put it out for a different purpose. Is that going to be a problem, a D'oraisa problem or not? So accordingly, the Mishnah continues, somebody who puts out the candle, kechas al aner, kechas al hashemen, and kechas al hapsila, somebody who wants to put out that flame because he wants to stop any, the heat from damaging the actual candelabrum, from damaging, for example, the lamp. Or he wants to put out the flame because he's concerned, he wants to save on the oil. I'm going to sleep now and I don't need this to burn anymore. So it's not that he needs the fire out for in of itself, but it's for a secondary reason because he has concern about the candelabrum or the shemen or kechas al hapsila, or he wants to save the wick for another time. So the Tanakam is of the view that even though this is a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, it's not that I care specifically about putting out the candle, but I'm trying to save money. Nonetheless, chay of a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is an Isser D'oraisa. The next Tana disagrees with that and is of the view that a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is not an Isser D'oraisa. So Rabbi Yossi poter b'chulan. Rabbi Yossi is of the view that all of those aforementioned cases is not going to be an Isser D'oraisa. If it's a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, it's going to be an Isser D'rabbanan, but certainly not an Isser D'oraisa, with the exception of when you need the malacha itself, chutz min apsila mibnei shu oseh pecham, with the exception of when you put out the flame because you intend to use it for charcoal. In other words, you've lit the flame and you want to put it out because you want to use that wick in the future for a positive purpose. That's my intention, is I want to make this into coal. It makes it easier to light that wick if it was lit and I put it out again. Let me put it out. It'll be easier to use the next time. That's a malacha hatzricha legufa. And accordingly, even Rabbi Yossi would say that that is an iser mideoraisa. Mishnah Vav says as follows, Al shalosh averos, nashi mesos bishas leidasan, because of a result of three different sins, a woman indeed may pass away during childbirth. What's going on here is during childbirth, that's a time of sakana, danger for the woman, and she needs the rachmim of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to get through it. And at the time that we are in sakana, that is a time that our sins are investigated. The Satan is mekatreg. He prosecutes us at those times. And if we have a woman, and we're talking about now, but in general, anyone at a time of sakana, or surgery, whatever it may be, that is a time that our sins are investigated. So when a woman gives birth, three specific sins are investigated at that time, and hopefully she has not transgressed. Al she'enan zihiros benida, if she has violated the halachas of nida, is number one. Number two, uvechala, she wasn't strict about taking challah when baking bread or other items that require challah to be taken. And uvahadlakas haner, and she wasn't careful, and that's the connection to all the halachas we're talking about in the second parak of Shabbos. She wasn't careful about the halachas of lighting candles, so didn't light the candles at all. Why specifically these three sins? Because these are the three sins that are most relevant to women. A nida, a woman is the one who becomes a nida, so she is the one who's entrusted with observing the halachas of nida. And in addition, when it comes to challah, and when it comes to lighting the Shabbos candles, those are mitzvahs that are assigned to women. They have priority over men when it comes to those halachas. They are the ones who are responsible and have the mitzvah of adhering to those mitzvahs of taking care and attending to the household tasks, and accordingly included in those are making bread, lighting the candles. So these are mitzvahs that are specific to women, and accordingly it is their responsibility. And you do have interesting questions. If a husband wants to light the candles instead of the woman, truth be told is it is her priority, it is her mitzvah, not his. He is certainly permitted to participate by preparing the candles for her, or after she turns on the electric light, she lights her candles, she says the bracha, he is permitted to add on lights. He can put on lights in other areas, but indeed the woman does have the priority in these mitzvahs. Mishnah Zayin, we discuss other ways of preparation or ways that we should not be praying for Shabbos. So Mishnah Zayin starts as follows: Shlosh advarim tzarich adam lomar besachbeiso erev Shabbos im chashecha. There are three things that a person should say in his household coming into Shabbos before Shabbos has begun. We would say these before Ben Hashmashos, which is before actually Shkia, before the sun sets. And the three that are recorded in the Mishnah, and these are not mutually exclusive. A sartem, have we taken maestras and trumas from our produce that we're going to be eating on Shabbos? This is talking about an Eretz Yisrael. If maestras and trumas we're not taking, the produce cannot be eaten. And the next question that the Baal HaBayis will ask, a raftem, have we finished making any Erev Chatzeros? And Erev Chatzeros, we'll talk a lot more about Maseches Eruvin, but if we have some houses around a courtyard or apartments around a courtyard and we want to be able to carry on Shabbos from our houses into the private courtyard, private as in it's owned commonly by a few families of the houses around it, we have to make an Erev Chatzeros, or it's also talking about an Erev Tchumim, and there's an Isra of Tchum Shabbos that outside of the city limits we can go only 2,000 amos, 2,000 cubits, but no more. But there is a way to extend it in a certain way, and we'll talk a lot about this in Masechet Eruvin. So has that been done? Are all of our Shabbos preparations done? Is the fridge set for Shabbos? Is the flame off? Is the oven off? Is the video camera off? Whatever it may be, are all preparations ready and completed? And if the answer to all of the above is yes, all is ready, then the third part of this is not a question anymore, but a statement by the Baal HaBayis, Hadliku es haner, we should go forward, light the candles, let's start Shabbos. And the Mefarshim stress that all of this should be said benachas, in a calm and soothing way, not in an angry fashion. Going into Shabbos should be as calm and enjoyable as possible, though enjoyable may not be, but it should be as low stress as possible, given that we have a lot going on going into Shabbos. The Mishnah then continues, Safek Chashecha, Safek Ein Chashecha. We're going to talk about once it is hit Shkia, it has hit the sunset. The sun has set. That is starts a time period called Bein Hashmashos, literally twilight between the suns. It's a time of twilight up until we see three stars. That it is Vadei Laila. Then it's definitely night. And there's a suffix in halacha whether this time of Bein Hashmashos is daytime and it's still Friday, or it's nighttime and it's Shabbos. So we have a doubt. It's a safek chashecha, safek ena chashecha. Is it night? Is it not? Is it Shabbos? It's not Shabbos, but it's twilight after Shkia. Accordingly, we obviously can't do any Isuri deraisa, but we cannot even do any Isuri derabanan. For example, ein maasri nesavadai. We are not permitted to take trumas and maestros from produce that it is for certain that no one has tithed them yet, because that would be an Isuri derabanan. We also can't put kelim into a mikvah when they are tame, when we would need them to use, if we would want to use them on Shabbos, we can't tovel bein hashmashos. That's an issur derabanan, because again, we're preparing something that's otherwise not prepared for Shabbos, so that can't be done even bein hashmashos. And in addition, vein matlikim esaneris, we also don't light the candles. Now, lighting candles is an issur deraisa, so some of the mafarshim explain that we can't even tell a non-Jew to light on our behalf. Telling a non-Jew to do an activity that we cannot do on Shabbos is an issur derabanan. We can't, somebody forgot, lo aleinu, to light the candles on Shabbos, wants to instruct the non-Jew to light on his or her behalf. That cannot be done bein hashmashos. Now the Mishnah then continues and says that there are certain activities that are a suffix if it's necessary or not, that can be done on bein hashmashos. What during bein hashmashos? What does that mean? Aval ma'asrin es hadimai, if we have produce that may have been tithed. Demai is demai. What is this? In other words, somebody brought produce for an Am Haaretz. We don't know if he tithed it or not. It's more likely that he tithed it than not, but we're not sure because it's a suffix whether this produce has been tithed or not, and it's bein hashmashos, which is another suffix. We don't know if it's Shabbos or not. That produce can be tithed during bein hashmashos. And in addition, ume'arvin, certain types of Aaron, is to talk about an Erev Chatzeros. An Erev Chatzeros is purely a rabbinic construct required by Chazal. It's a chruma d'rabanan, and accordingly that can be done bein hashmashos also. However, the Eruv Tchumim that we discussed before, that has a source. It's, although it's rabbinic in nature, it does have an asmachta, a source in the Torah, and accordingly that cannot be done on bein hashmashos. And the third thing that can be done on bein hashmashos is v'tomnim et hachamin. Tomnim et hachamin means we can isolate hot food. We can't, insulate hot food. We can isolate it, insulate it. And we're talking about food that's going into Shabbos, and we want it to remain hot. It's already hot. Going into Shabbos, we want it to remain hot. We cannot insulate it with something that will increase its heat, simply in something that will maintain its heat. That is permitted to do bein hashmashos, and that will also be the subject of the next parak coming up.